west side of Buffalo experiences the challenges that many upstate cities and neighborhoods throughout our state experience, which is that we had a growing number of vacant homes. We had a high rate of unemployment. We had a lot of vacant land parcels that were unspoken for and no one was really taking responsibility for. We had some commercial vacancies on our main commercial strip. And many of those challenges remain, but I would say we've made a big dent. Many of the vacant homes are now occupied, and there's a general sense of vitality and a new life on the west side of Buffalo.
How do you access those vacant properties to turn them around? What hoops do you have to jump through in order to do that? Can you describe that process for us?
Sure. Well, the problem of vacancy is very complex. There are many reasons that a home may go vacant, and thus there are many avenues for working to reclaim those homes. They can range from a city auction, a tax auction, where in Buffalo hundreds of homes go up for auction each year. They can be negotiated for with a bank that may have foreclosed on them and may have no plans for the future of a particular home. Or it may be a private market sale where a particular family has decided to move on and has put their home up for market. So each home has its own story, and it's almost like being a private investigator when it comes to tracking down owners of homes in neighborhoods that have high vacancy rates.
How involved were the neighbors who already were living, the residents of that area? And can you even embark on a project like this without the buy-in of the local folks who are there already?
Well, the core of our model and our core commitment is to community-driven neighborhood transformation, meaning that house by house, there is direct one-on-one engagement and then collective engagement with the questions that face the neighborhood. So for us, that started with really extensive door-to-door organizing, surveying, community meetings, and that's a process that's iterative and never ends. It's an ongoing process. We're out on the doors 3 days a week talking to our members and making sure that they're in sync with the plan that we're carrying forward. And in fact, the organization itself is made up of its members. Our board is elected from the neighborhood, and we have a very active membership.
And aside from making a street or a neighborhood look nicer, have a better tax base, I would imagine this kind of transformation affects everything from crime to property value.
Well, we've definitely sought to have a holistic approach to neighborhood transformation, meaning that when you build a green affordable housing unit, you also think about job opportunities to work on that job site. Or when you build a community garden, you make sure it's the type of community garden that a particular set of residents in the neighborhood wants to use. And therefore, there are many spin-off benefits. We've noticed an increased rate of pedestrianism, of people walking down the street, and thus a stronger sense of security, a stronger sense of community ownership and pride. And I think some of the more invaluable aspects of community transformation work are those intangibles, the belief in the future of the neighborhood, the belief that there is hope for employment. I believe that can come from a holistic approach.
Aaron, one of the key factors in your group's mission, it has to do with sustainable housing and green jobs. Are all the homes you take over converted into green homes? And what does that even mean to your group to be a green, sustainable home?
Well, part of having a sustainability focus is thinking about sustainability in really the broadest terms possible. So for us, that means that, yes, every time we renovate a home, we super insulate that home. We make sure that the furnaces are the highest efficiency possible. We look for opportunities to integrate solar, geothermal, other renewable systems into our homes. And we ensure that people are educated and aware of conservation use who live in our homes. But that doesn't extend just to the home. It's also about the context of the neighborhood. So it means about looking for opportunities to strengthen walkability in a neighborhood so that people can walk to meet their commercial needs, to meet their needs for food, for entertainment. And we also look for opportunities to do transit-oriented development, meaning that the core of the Green Development Zone is very well served by our bus system in Buffalo, and it enables people to get to work. And that's part of sustainability, connecting to the broader life of the city, whether it's employment or education or entertainment.
We have pockets of poverty here in Rochester. In fact, poverty is a great issue affecting our entire community. And there are certainly neighborhoods like you're describing that are in need of help, in need of new life, shall we say. What is your best advice for folks who might be listening, who are ready to take this on?
Well, first, I'd like to emphasize that there are some great organizations in Rochester also embarking on this work, many of which we've learned from. For example, the Greater Rochester Housing Partnership is one of the leaders in turning vacant homes into homes that are purchased by first-time homebuyers. So I would say it starts by making sure that you're aware of whatever assets or organizations are already working in your neighborhood, and then connecting with them. And if there happens to be a void in a particular neighborhood, it's really about looking at best practices. We'd be happy to host people in Buffalo. There are other organizations in Rochester that one can visit to think about what it takes to start the planning process. Because as I've said earlier, community engaged planning is the place to begin with community transformation and making sure that people are bought into a democratic process for figuring out what the future of their neighborhood is.
Do you think the model of your organization could work in any city?
I do. I do think so. But I also believe that we have particular opportunities in cities like Buffalo and Rochester, where housing can be purchased relatively cheaply by community organizations, where there's some opportunity to integrate urban agriculture, for example, or stormwater management, which is using vacant land to absorb water so that it doesn't contaminate our lakes through the sewer system. And that's a unique landscape. And we also have a really incredibly historic set of houses in both cities. Our cities were built in times when craftsmanship was at its all-time high in American architecture. And the Victorian landscape is one that we really have to treasure and repair the fabric of.